Hey, what's going on, everybody? Let's have the argument about how
How
where
the
the camera
camera is?
is and how
Yeah.
the lighting is.
Okay.
Is it okay?
It's a little white. Let me
I
see.
didn't change anything.
Okay, it's going this way. Goes this way. Okay.
We're just like so.
Me
You
see.
like that
Yeah.
better? Okay.
All right, something's different.
I don't think it is, dude.
It looks really dark in the
I haven't
background.
touched
It
anything.
looks really dark in the
I didn't turn
background.
anything off back there. Unless
I
the
think
some of the little
this is
lights.
bent down, I think.
Okay, maybe. I didn't do it though.
Yeah.
That's all
It
you.
was just like that.
That's all you.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey. It's Friday. It's Friday the 13th. That's why the little what the fuck is that
That's
thing called?
better, yeah.
What the fuck is that thing called? The little thumbnail. That's why I put Jason on there. It was actually kind of funny because I went and like did an AI and I just put in Jason Voorhees Friday the 13th, and I was so amused that the AI came up with something that looked very much like Jason Voorhees, but he also like had a little backpack on, like he was going to summer camp, and I thought that was very, very
That's
funny.
funny.
So I said, "Well, that's how I'm gonna use that one," because Sebastian brought it up. He's like with his rucksack, and I was like, "Well, you know, he's got to have somewhere to keep his machete and his protein bars. You know what I mean? Got to keep your energy up for
Yep.
slashing all those horny teenagers."
Okay, so we are welcoming you all to the weekend. We usually have a few drinks. We're going out tonight. We're going out to
Memento Mori is this
yeah, that's right.
evening, the
Down to
Friday the
Barbarella's.
13th edition.
Yeah, Barbarella's. So
We're
I'm just gonna have just one drink. I'm not gonna get too fucked up
trying not to
because
get
I
too
gotta
fucked up.
drive. Yeah,
Yeah.
and then we'll probably end the show 9 o'clock our time.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, about an hour and a half probably.
Zach says, my hair and shirt make it look like I'm wearing a nun's habit. Well, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, this is actually my real hair, which I don't usually do.
Yeah.
Because I just colored it yesterday and washed it and combed it all out, and Tom cut the bangs shorter. You
Yeah.
know. So
Let's see.
we're just kind of
Yep.
like rolling with it like that.
Yeah.
Rolling with it like that. Because I didn't
Take your
really.
glasses off. Show them without the glasses. There you go.
It does look better without the
Yeah, it
glasses.
looks a lot better without the
But I
glasses.
can't see shit without the glasses. Everything
Yeah.
just looks like little wiggly blurs.
Yeah, and the side of her face, like give her a profile. Because
Wait.
she's the other way. She's totally bald on the
Well,
side.
yeah.
Shaved everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks
Well,
good.
that's been like that for a while.
Yeah. I shaved that bitch with a razor, though.
Normally I would wear it up, but
Yeah.
Tom's like, I don't know, it looks good like kind of down.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm rolling with that.
Yeah, wear it down.
I'm rolling with that. I'm trying to be all like elegant this evening, I guess.
Yeah, she's got a cool long dress on.
Yeah. Look at this new little thing. Look at the little hearts that are
Yeah.
moving. Who's doing
It's a
that?
heart special effect.
Yeah, that must be a new thing because I
Yep.
use OBS, and so I have like a little chat window that's like the YouTube chat window. And a couple days ago, I noticed that they now have like a little emoji button like at the bottom, which never happened before. And so now it's like a heart, and then there's now every now and then like little hearts go woo, and they go like, and I'm like, wow, look at that. I'm impressed like by really simple things, obviously. So, you know.
Yeah, he wants to know if we can talk about what's going on in Israel. Yeah, I can talk about that. I've been studying it, seeing what's going on. Looked at the videos, the ones that we could find. But no, if you have any questions, I can answer them. I also got one friend over there who's a friend of the show. She listens to the show. She's in Greece right now, but all her family's back in Israel. I think it was one of her sisters or cousins or something was at that rave that got where the airborne troops landed. They survived though. They were at that rave.
Yeah, Zach says, it's like Morticia meets Lisbeth Salander, and I'm here for it. Well, thank you. I appreciate it because those are both my style icons. So I didn't like mean to do it like that, but that's just kind of how it worked out. Cause this was some of the new these dresses we got from Temu, right?
Yeah.
The newest ones.
They all look good.
Yeah, I like all of them actually.
Yeah.
We got like a lot of kind of long ones.
Show them this one. You
Well,
had your
this one,
boots.
yeah, it looks a lot better. I don't have any shoes
She
on
didn't have
right
your
now.
boots on, but it looks a
But
lot better with boots on.
hold on, let me get over here. Wow, okay. Wait, it's kind of sticking in my butt.
Yeah.
Classy, I'm classy
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of got like a tribal
Turns
pattern there in the bottom, and it's like slit up the side. Like
that. With boots, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, but like I said,
yeah,
I like to sit cross-legged in a chair, and it's kind of hard to do that with boots on.
Yeah.
So I'll put some on later before we go out. But yeah, they all did turn out looking really good. So there's that. But yeah. Zach says, which version of Dragon Tattoo did you like more, the Swedish movies or the David Fincher one? I love the Fincher movie. The Swedish ones had a made-for-TV look to them I don't like much. I liked both of them. I kind of feel like I probably slightly like the David Fincher ones better, but I think they were both good. Those books were amazing, though. I just tore through all the books, like, I think in a few days, and they're long, you know what I mean?
I don't really have an opinion on them. I didn't. They really, really weren't my thing.
Yeah, like I said, I liked the books a lot better, but the movies were a good adaptation. But of course, they had to leave a lot of shit out, like they always do. So, you know what I mean. Oh, and I meant to say, I don't think Oscar is here, but he asked me to do a review of VHS 85, which just dropped on Shudder a couple days ago. So, I actually did watch it, and I wrote out a thing, so I am going to do, hopefully over the weekend, I'll record and edit the thing. So, you know, so that'll be good. I don't usually like found footage all that much. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ones I like, but I actually, just spoiler alert, I actually really liked VHS 85. I thought they did a good job with it. There was a couple stories in there that were kind of like, eh, not as good as the other ones, but like the ones that were really good were really, really good. I think it's my second favorite one of all of them, because I did a review over on my Scare Salon channel of all five of the ones that were out back then. You know what I mean? I think Oscar asked me to do that too. So it was like this big long, I think the video was like an hour long, and I talked about all five of the ones. So I thought, might as well do VHS 85 too. I heard that the next one they're doing, because this one was so successful for Shudder, that they've already greenlit another one. And I think the next one is going to be all, like, sci-fi focused, which I'm not that jazzed about, but it might be good. We'll see. Zach says, there's a movie based on the Silent Hill games coming out next year, and I can't wait for it. Yeah, didn't they make a Silent Hill movie, like, a while back? I remember it being okay, but I never played the game, so I know everybody, like, raves about those, but I've never really, you know. I never really, like, got that into them. You know what I mean? Tammy said, you should review Renfield since you've watched it. Yeah, I probably will. I actually really liked it. Tom didn't see all of it because he was out at bike night, and I started watching it, like, before he got back. But, it was, I don't know, I really dug it. It was, like, a little bit different than what I was expecting, but it was, like, super funny. Like, and especially, like, all the gore and stuff like that was fucking hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I fucking loved that shit. Like, I love the priest exploding at the beginning, too. That, like, made me laugh out loud.
Okay, I gotta address the serious shit that they're saying. They're thinking that the, based on their comments, they're thinking that the, that there was something fishy about that Hamas attack, them flying in and everything. Nah, you have to understand, most of warfare is psychological. And even the physical aspects of it, there's a big psychological and emotional element behind it. What happened with Israel is they got normalcy bias. Hamas hadn't done anything in a long time. And the last thing Hamas basically told them is that they were just going to focus on the economy. I saw videos of those little motorized ultralight hang glider things, you know, coming in and all the way down, little parachute guys, the paragliders coming in. But that the ultralight aircraft, the dude made a fucking perfect landing, and it had a two-man crew. It had a gunner up front and a pilot in the back. And I saw that landing, and I was like, man, those dudes have been practicing. Because, you know, just a perfect landing. And I was thinking, where could you have practiced that inside Gaza without attracting attention? And I was looking at some of the guys in there, and some of the guys looked like Ethiopians or Egyptians, you know, in the attack, you know, real dark-skinned, and they didn't really look like guys from Gaza. They didn't. So I was thinking it's probably an international volunteer group. In other words, mercenaries, Islamic mercenaries, which it probably was. And I thought maybe they had maybe trained for that up in Africa. Because the Russians are in there, you know, with the Wagner Group. And that'd be a good place and a good team to train those guys, Wagner. But then I found out more information. Turned out Hamas had a training camp inside Gaza. And they were practicing flying those things and landing the paragliders. They were even taking selfies for years. They've been training that shit for years. And landing those things and doing drills. They had mock-ups of certain areas of the towns inside Israel where they considered high priority targets. And they were running drills through it. Israel knew. But they had normalcy bias. They didn't believe it. They thought that was just Hamas propaganda, training, and recruitment. Because you want to keep your crew, you want to keep your troops trained. And training is part of the morale to get new recruits. They didn't think they'd ever pull a trigger on that mission. But the timing aligned up, you know, Saudi Arabia and Israel were going to sign this agreement. And that would have put Hamas fucking in an inferior position. So they pulled the trigger on that mission. And now foiled the agreement between Saudi Arabia and Israel, because Israel doesn't want to be seen Saudi Arabia doesn't want to be seen supporting Israel in front of all these enraged Arabs. So it wasn't just that it was fishy in terms of, you know, oh, well, they knew and they could have stopped it. Yeah, they knew about the training, but everybody's training at all times for all different kinds of missions. All armies are training constantly. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean they're actually going to pull a trigger on any of that. But they did, you know. And the reason why they wanted it not only was to foil that agreement, Hamas has a lot of their guys in prison inside Israel. So they wanted a big shock and awe campaign, and they wanted to grab a bunch of captives so they could trade them off and get their guys out of prison. It's going to backfire, though. Israel's going to fucking level that place. It's not pretty. You know, I don't really back either one. You know what I mean? I don't really have a dog in that fight. I think Hamas is desperate. You know, they desperately want their cause to continue. They don't want an Israel to exist. They don't even want Jews, you know. So they're going to do shit like that. And Israel now has to fight to survive. Which that's the law of the jungle. And that's what this is. It's just, nothing's in control of anything. Everything is just the jungle. And everything is just an animal in the jungle. All these organizations are just animals in the jungle. And you just, they're all fighting. And that's the way it's always going to be. It's the way it's all been through the history of mankind. And even before man was man, back when we were animals, we were still doing that. Nothing's changed. But I think it's going to backfire. Israel's going to fucking level that place. And that might backfire. So it might be an endless cycle, but that's just how it is.
Yep, there's always going to be somebody holding the pair of anguish, and there's always going to be somebody getting the pair of anguish shoved up their rectum.
The pair of anguish gets passed around. We all got it coming.
Sure.
Everything imposes on everything else in nature. Even inanimate objects fuck over other inanimate objects by occupying spaces that another inanimate object could occupy. You cannot exist in any kind of state of righteousness. You're always imposing. At least a little.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So, it just is what it is.
Right, what are you going to do? I mean...
Yeah. It is the way of the world.
You're so wise, Tom.
Oh, but here's the deal. They want to know, well, who trained these guys? Don't sell them guys fucking short. Hamas trained themselves. They, you know, they're intelligent guys. They got... esprit de corps. They got their purpose that they want to. They got their purpose. That's, you know, the religious motivations, ethnic motivations. And part of a good professional soldier is to be creative and inventive and use the things that you have at hand and practice with those. And that's what they did. Paragliders and ultralight aircraft. Man, that's a good idea. And they were not expensive and they used them. And they also did an amphibious assault. People don't realize that. They went in there with speed boats. Too. So it was land, sea, and air. Motorcycles, jeeps, And they did it to show everybody they could do it. You don't need high technology. You don't want high technology. You want cheap disposable shit that you don't see coming, you know? I think the speedboats were inflatable. The Israeli Navy blew at least one up, though. I saw the video. Just vaporized it. But that wasn't the point. The point was, it's just shock and awe that they can come from anywhere whenever they want to. That was the idea.
Zach says, and then the Austrian guys see the pair of anguish and start drooling.
Yeah.
You know.
Freaky fucking Germans.
We should probably, that's what I was, when you said that.
Freaky fucking Germans.
I was thinking of.
I think it's video.
Because Tom is always, he's a porn connoisseur, like I said. And he's always kind of like, which I think this may sound weird, but I think this is very nice that you do this. He will actually, like, look for porn. I think Jenny would like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even if it's not really his thing. It's
based on the nasty shit she says, man. Yeah. And the shit she threatens me with.
Right.
She's cruel. She's real fucking cruel.
I would never do anything bad to you. Yeah. You know that, though. I mean, you know that I'm just fucking with you because it's funny, because it makes you uncomfortable. So, yeah. So he says to me yesterday, he's like, oh, I found some porn that you're going to really dig. He's like, so last night he shows it to me. And it was this real hot, I guess she was German. She was speaking English, but it sounded like a German or Austrian accent.
It's a German couple.
And she's tattooed like pretty much over her whole body. Her eyeballs are tattooed. Like her tongue is split and tattooed.
It's blue. She's blue.
Like it's blue. She's actually really pretty. And she has like these really pretty like blue dreadlocks.
And her face isn't tattooed totally. It's still white, but it's got stripes and slash marks.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
The rest
of it
is all just patterns.
I really liked it.
And her husband is the same way. He's got matching patterns.
It's kind of matches. Yeah. So it's like the funny thing is that when she's naked, it almost looks like she's not naked because she has so many.
She's got clothes on.
She's got like solid blocks, and it's actually like really cool looking. I think it's like really aesthetically nice. She also has nipple piercings, but they are behind the areolas, and it looked like
these goes through the meat.
Yeah, like through the meat. And I was like, I wonder, would that be more or less painful? We were thinking maybe that would be less because that skin is softer back there.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like behind the areola, and she had like a, it kind of looked like a plastic
T
screw or like a T kind of thing. Yeah, and it's like medical. So up here, and like it stuck out the bottom like
come
that.
Come to the bottom, and there's a cap on there.
And so
medical.
Yeah. So she had that through each tit.
Yeah.
And then she had a bunch of other piercings too, like in her lips and stuff.
Got one above and below this damn round circles.
Yeah,
and
like with the button. And she had like the big long stretched ears and stuff like that. But like I said, she was really, really beautiful.
She's pretty. She's blue, a beautiful bright, girl. No whites in her eyes. All everything's blue.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's a cool look and it's a whole like aesthetic and I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
So it's her and I'm assuming her boyfriend, husband or whoever, because they have like kind of matching aesthetic like tattoos. Yeah. So it was him, he's laying on the table and I was like, oh, this is getting good.
Yeah.
And it's her and then this other woman who I guess is the sounding expert.
Yeah.
And
she's not tattooed at all.
She's not tattooed at all. But she had like fetish clothes on.
Looks like 1920s fetish. Queen.
Yeah. And she had like kind of a bob kind of thing. Like also really pretty.
Like fresh from the cabaret.
And so the whole video was him laying on this medical table and the one girl like sounding him and then the other, like the wife, like just sticking this big, huge like metal thing up his ass.
Stainless steel rod.
Like this big.
With a damn ball on it. It's about 3 feet long. Ball is like the size of a tennis ball.
I'm surprised that Tom sat through the sounding thing. Yeah. Because it's like, because they start out with like the little small. If you don't know what sounding is, because we were streaming today, we were over on StreamMate, and we mentioned something about it, and the guy didn't know what that was. He's like, what's that? And we told him what it was, and he's like, nope. Yes. But yeah, basically, you take like little metal rods, and you stick them down your dick hole, like in the urethra.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then there's a set of them.
And they're not straight, they're fucking
they're kind of
curved and shit.
And then like, you just get bigger and bigger. So the biggest one in this set was probably like bigger around than a pencil.
Yeah, it's about as big around
as a pencil.
And
I was like, holy shit, she's really going to get that in his dick hole? And I was like, yep, she certainly did.
Bigger around than a very large fucking
and the two girls were just like having the time of their lives.
Yeah, they're
they
laughing,
were just like
talking to each other
and stuff. And they're just like, oop, here it goes, look at that. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it just says that fucking strong accent. We have to fill up all these holes.
Yeah. See, Tom knows me too well. He's like, you're going to love this shit. Watch.
Yeah. Jed's going to like something fucking perverted. filling up all these holes.
I love all that shit. And then they had another one where it was the same two girls, but it was a different dude. And I guess this was a dude that they knew because he was in a couple of other videos with them, too.
Yeah.
But he was tattooed all over. Like,
I think they all lived together on the same compound.
Yeah, it was like this. Yeah, and
like
actually.
It's like an artist.
Whoever filmed this was like a professional. Like, yeah. I mean, the editing was nice. Like, all the shot compositions were nice, which I know is a crazy thing to say about porn, but it looked really good. You know, there was
Sound quality.
Yeah, good sound, like good music in the background. Like,
they're doing close ups on fucking tools.
Yeah, doing close ups and stuff. Like, the way it was edited was like, I was like, wow, this is great. So, yeah, they really knew what they were doing. But this guy, he was tattooed like all over, like even the bottoms of his feet, like up in his asshole, like everything.
Yeah,
was tattooed. Like his entire dick was tattooed. Yeah. Everything. He was like blue.
His whole face was blue.
Yeah, and he was pretty cool looking too. And he also kind of had dreads and stuff. So this guy,
he's also cross dressing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in this one, in this one, he had like kind of white blouse and he had like these white. Yeah. Thigh highs or whatever. Yeah. So they put him on the same table, like these same two women.
Yeah, and they're all in good shape. These people are all
like, oh yeah, they're all like really super attractive people.
Yeah, they look like models.
So yeah, they first like they tied his dick up with rope and like put it all around his balls and everything like that and kind of like hog tied it. And then kind of like tied him up like that. And then they just like stuck bigger and bigger things like up his ass. They were both sticking huge fists up his ass and all
that. They were fisting him.
Yeah, it was great. And then so it's like
you're chiding him about fucking gaping. Says, come on, you can do it. This guy, he couldn't do it.
So I was like, favorite this channel. I like this. I like that femdom stuff.
Yeah, femdom. He looked like he was in agony, but he didn't go anywhere.
And like I said, he was in some of the other videos with them. Yeah. So
they're pain freaks, man. They've got all the fucking tattoos and weird piercings. And
that's
shit.
What I mean. Because like I said, you got to be into that shit to like get your whole entire dick and your butthole tattooed. Just saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even gonna do that. So, but yeah,
that girl was like that too.
Yeah,
she
was
tattooed up in there.
Yeah, she hers was almost. It wasn't quite as extreme, but yeah, she had tattoos.
She like just all the only place she didn't have tattoos were in the bottoms of her feet and her face.
Yeah, most of her face. She did have some tattoos on her face, but not all over.
Yeah.
Let's see. They're still talking about. The stuff, still talking about all that. Jeffy Art said, I used to work at a leather fetish shop in Fort Lauderdale. I went to some fetish parties down there back in the old days and was educated by a customer regarding sounding. It was described as getting jerked off from the inside. I'm way too vanilla for that. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm like, I would not blame a dude for not wanting that done to them. It doesn't look super comfortable, but I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Tom? Would you want to be sounded?
Man, you look at that, your hair fucking stands up.
Yeah, he was just like, ugh. Meanwhile, I'm looking at it going, wow.
It must feel good. It seems like it feels good, but fucking.
Well, he was pretty chill about it. He was just like, all right, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm scared of it.
It looks painful from the outside. Yeah. I will say that. But maybe it's not.
I don't know. Hard to say.
Maybe it's
not. I remember woke up from a damn, basically a coma. They were pulling a catheter out of me fucking when I was in that motorcycle wreck. Fucking sent me through the roof.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, and that was a young woman in her 20s yanked that thing out. She didn't know. Yeah, I was like, ah! She looked at me like she was surprised because she thought I was unconscious.
She's like, well, I was unconscious until you did that shit.
Yeah, I fucking. Yeah, woke up. Pulled that thing out of there. It had been in there for days.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think. Coma. I don't know. I'm not a nurse.
Yeah.
But I would think that even if the person was unconscious, I'd be like, well, just to be on the safe side, I'm going to do this very carefully and slowly. You know what I mean? But maybe not. Maybe some people are like, he's asleep. He doesn't feel it.
Well, maybe it's better if it's all at once.
I think it got stuck. Maybe. I think like it ripping off
stuck
a Band-Aid.
Up in there, dried and stuck. You know what I mean? So there was nothing was lubed or anything.
Right.
It didn't slide out. It was just pop. You know, it was like ripping off a damn scab or something.
Yikes. But yeah, at least it was over quick.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a point.
Yeah, and then I rolled over and fucking passed back out again. Went back to sleep. But I remembered it.
Well,
I remembered it.
Yeah, because you told me that last night. You were like, it's kind of like that. That's what it kind of reminded you of.
Yeah, and that girl looked at me in her eyes, her biggest saucers. You okay?
I was like, sorry.
I was fucking.
Sorry, I just pulled that out of a very uncomfortable place.
Oh, man.
Zach says, getting jerked off from the inside is an upsetting combination of words. I guess. Tammy says, you have to pick one, pegged or sounded.
Oh, sounded.
He would definitely pick sounded.
Yeah.
He is like, absolutely not. Because it seems like every time we stream, somebody comes in
and asks me for that. Yeah,
about that. So that must be like really common. And like we had a dude today.
Yeah, the dudes are like, man, well, you're missing out. You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's so awesome. You should let her do it. And I'm just like, okay. Either that or it's the same person with lots of different names. Like coming in and fucking with you because they know you don't want to do it. And I'm just like, see, he won't let me. He won't let me.
Yeah, they ask for it every day.
Pretty much. I think every time we go on, somebody asks for it. It's like fucking hilarious.
We had one today loving on me like crazy. Wanted me to show him everything.
Yeah.
He went cam to cam. I couldn't see him though.
Yeah, he went cam to cam, but his camera wasn't working. Yeah,
I just like pretended like I could.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you. We can see you. Dax says, no, what you need to do is use the pair of anguish on Tom first and then peg him. See, everybody wants to see.
Man,
everybody wants
sick,
to see
man.
That.
Y'all are sick.
Well, like I said, because it's more fun because you don't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Let me get some ice.
I probably need some too. Look at that. It just melts.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be the juice doing that or the Florida doing that. I'm not really sure. Lara says, J&B whiskey in Giallo just because of the yellow label. I always wondered about that too. Like, why do they always... I don't know how common, like, J&B whiskey is in Europe, so maybe it was just kind of a thing and, like, somebody just noticed it. But it does seem like they very conspicuously, like, put bottles of J&B whiskey in Giallo movies. Like, and I don't really know why that is. Even they've even done, like, newer Giallo movies, you know, or like, Neo Giallo that are kind of parodying or homaging the genre, and they'll put J&B whiskey in there, too. So, obviously, I'm not the only person that's noticed that.
What's that?
The J&B whiskey bottles that turn up in Giallo movies.
Oh. It's probably easy to find that in Italy.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I said I wondered if it was just kind of, like, happened to be there because that was a common brand, and then people just noticed it. Because those movies got exported to other countries, maybe, and they're like, hey, look at all the J&B. Because we have J&B whiskey here, too, but it's, like, not all that
I remember in the 70s. Common. I remember in the 70s out in California, the J&B whiskey, there were billboards of it for it everywhere. So it was just, I think it was just a time when that was a real popular brand of whiskey. It's not anymore.
I've had it before. Like a few years ago.
Yeah, Jack Daniels and Wild Turkey and shit like that from Jim Beam. Jack Daniels and Jim Beam sell a lot more.
Yeah. I like J&B. It's not really... I didn't really notice that much of a difference between that and like
and there Jack isn't, Daniels. There isn't a big advertising campaign behind it. J&B had an advertising campaign behind it. They also had Cutty Sark. There was a huge fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Huge fucking advertising campaign behind that. And I think that might be some kind of vermouth, isn't it? What is
yeah,
that?
What the fuck is even that is that? I remember all the ads, but I don't even, like, I was too young to drink when those ads were popular.
Remember
so
that
I don't
bottle?
Really
they had a brown one and a green one, I think.
Yeah.
A weird shape. I don't even know what it was, though.
Yeah, what the
it
fuck?
It might have been whiskey.
What the fuck is Cutty Sark?
Might be whiskey.
We drink a lot, but I'm not real...
yeah, that's old people shit.
That yeah, well, and I'm not real sophisticated when it comes to, like, all these different... I'm just like, whatever's kind of cheap. Like, not super, super cheap. I'm not that much of a... I'm not that trashy, but
do
I'm
you
just,
like bargain stuff?
Yeah, I just kind of like...
Bargain vodka.
Yeah. Well, vodka, it's kind of hard to mess up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, once you get into...
Real cheap vodka is terrible, though.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say, was that, yeah, if you get something like fucking... What's that shit that they... that was the...
Aristocrat.
Once you get, like, Aristocrat, that just tastes like rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, Aristocrat tastes terrible.
But once you get into the pinnacle... You know, sky area. I mean, those are fine.
That's actually mid tier.
Yeah, those are fine.
Yeah,
don't go cheaper than that.
Yeah, there's not much difference between mid tier and the fucking higher tiers.
That's what I'm saying.
That's same.
Now, I will note that when I worked for Van Gogh, and I don't even think they make it anymore. When I worked for Van Gogh Vodka, I will note that stuff did taste better. But it was more expensive. It was like $30 for just like not even for like the smaller size bottle. But all their shit was like natural. They didn't use any artificial flavors or anything like that. And it was imported. Like they made it in Holland, I want to say. I don't know, somewhere like
that. Hey, no. You leave those alone.
What is she doing?
Tearing up your boots.
Oh, Pokey, no. She's like, oh boy, new shoes to fuck up.
No. She looked at me like, why you hit me with that? She couldn't believe it that
I hit her with the towel, with the rag.
We'll see. Uh-huh. Don't you the do thing it. About it, Pookie is very smart.
Yeah.
But we kind of, she's kind of allowed to like tear up on shit, like, because you can't stop her. I mean, she tears up the carpet, she tears up the chairs and stuff like that. But we don't want to really tear up shoes.
Yeah.
So she doesn't seem to understand. It's like, well, hey, I can tear up this chair.
Yeah. Why can't I
tear that up? It's, yeah. This, there's no
don't
difference.
Don't you do it, Pookie. No. She's looking at that shoe again. And now one either. No.
She does know what no means, though.
Yeah. She knows what no means.
Yeah.
She's just trying to pretend like she didn't hear it. Like, I wasn't going to do that. Okay, there you go. There you go. Stop doing that shit.
Because she likes to jump up on the sink in my bathroom. And I have this kind of, like, vase thing that has this top on it with a metal, like a silver metal thing on the top. And she loves to fucking chew on that. And she knows she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
So she'll jump up there and she'll very casually kind of walk over there. I'm like, don't you chew on that. And then she'll be like, well, I was just gonna rub on it. See, I'm just rubbing. But then, like, when you turn your head away, she's like.
And then she starts like, yeah, yeah. She knows when you're not looking. She understands deception.
And then you're like, no. And then she's like, I wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, she's funny. She knows all about deception.
She does.
Yeah. Tries to play shit off.
She does. She's very sneaky. Well, she thinks she's very sneaky.
B says that fucking Sky goes down real smooth. Sky's good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very little difference between Sky and Pinnacle.
Like I usually get Sky if it's available.
And I can't really tell the difference between Sky, Sam's Vodka.
Sam's is what we have right
now. Yeah, it's Sam's right now. And it's good. And Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Sam's and Grey Goose is about the same.
Like I said, and once you get up to that price point, which is like, you know, Sky is about $26 for a big fifth.
And the Sam's, a big one, is like 21.
Yeah.
For Sam's Vodka. And I'd really take the Sam's Vodka over Sky, though. Because it's closer to Grey Goose. Grey Goose is pretty good, too.
It's a bit cheaper. Actually, that seems like it's gone up. Because when I used to buy the Sam's Vodka...
It was like $17.
Not even. I think it was like $14. Mm. I think it was $13.99.
For a big
one.
And it came in a pretty bottle.
Yeah.
And their Sam's Silver Tequila is excellent. I can't tell it apart from Milagro Silver.
Yeah, I don't know who makes
it. It's good. It probably Milagro.
And
probably
I think we've said this before, but the only Sam's liquor that we didn't like was the whiskey.
Yeah, terrible.
It tasted like licking a barbecue grill.
Really artificial flavor.
It had that. Yeah, it tasted like liquid smoke more than whiskey.
Yeah.
Which I was just kind of like, I don't mind a smoky whiskey, but that's a little much.
In its defense, I tried Johnny Walker Red Label recently, and it was also terrible. It was nowhere near as good as it used to be. When I was a kid, Red Label was good.
I haven't had Johnny Walker in a long time.
Red Label and Black Label used to be really good. They're not that good anymore.
I like whiskey, but I don't drink it that often. Like, we don't usually have it at the house. Like, sometimes I'll drink it when I'm out. Like, I'll just get, like, whiskey and Coke or something, but...
I could tell that the Sam's Scotch whiskey and Johnny Walker, I could tell they were artificially flavored. Shit didn't taste right.
Yeah.
It was too strong. Too smoky. Just like, man, that's not right.
Yeah, I don't really like that kind of it doesn't, like, artificial smoky flavor.
Does not compare at all to, say, like a fucking really good, like Glenfiddich or Glenlivet. Man, that shit's fucking really good.
Yeah.
Real Scotch whiskey.
I saw something here. It's like, Murder Hornet said, I can get Wild Turkey 101 a liter in Mexico for $20.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Jeff Yard said, during my bougie phase, I loved using the flavored Van Gogh for my chocolate espresso martinis. Their espresso vodka was really good. I don't think they make it anymore. It says, now I just use day-old coffee, Hershey syrup, Bailey's, and Smirnoff.
There was a drink.
Not going to lie, I would probably drink that too. That sounds pretty good.
There was a drink. They had a menu. Or a fucking, not a menu, what do you call it? They had a recipe book.
Yeah, I have it somewhere. So Van Gogh. From when I used to work there.
And they had one, it was... Was it peanut butter vodka?
PB&J.
No, not that one. Peanut butter vodka with caramel vodka, Coca-Cola with a ring of salt, and it tasted just like an O. Henry bar.
Or like Remember a Payday. That?
Payday bar. Wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't. They didn't make just peanut butter vodka. They made PB&J.
Right.
That was their big thing.
Okay, then it wasn't PB&J. It was caramel vodka, Coca-Cola, and Ring of Salt.
No, so it was the PB&J.
It was PB&J, was it?
Because that was one of the signature... When I first started working there, I think in 2013, that was their newest one because they were trying to compete with Pinnacle. I think Pinnacle had just put out a peanut butter vodka or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got to go one more and make a PB&J. So they did. Although to me, it just tasted like peanut butter. I didn't taste any jelly in there.
Right,
and honestly, like if you wanted, because they did have a cocktail that was supposed to taste like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But the thing about it was that to give it the jelly taste, you had to add raspberry vodka, like to kind of pump up the grape flavor that was in there. Because I thought the grape flavor in the PB&J was pretty indistinguishable. Like I couldn't
just
really.
Like,
yeah. But so that, it just tasted like peanut butter. And I really like peanut butter vodka and peanut butter whiskey.
But that Payday recipe, fucking Van Gogh Payday drink, man. Wasn't it Payday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
They didn't call it that, obviously.
It was tasted like a candy bar.
It did, yeah.
It was
real salty and peanutty.
Salty peanut with chocolatey kind of.
Man, it was so good.
It was real good.
I think, remember when we had that like that big party at our house?
Yeah.
When we lived in Sanford?
Yeah.
And I think we made those, because I think they were still making PB&J vodka back then. Mm-hmm. And man, we got like pretty fucking trashed on those because they were delicious. Yeah. but yeah, those were good. Yeah, I kind of feel like... Was it caramel vodka? I can't remember. There was another flavor of vodka that was in there.
Vodka.
It might have been caramel.
I think it was caramel.
I'm trying to remember.
Peanut butter and caramel and Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
With a ring of salt around it.
Yeah, and then you had to have like all the salt.
And I think it might have had something else in it.
I have that book around.
What didn't have grenadine in it, did it?
No.
No, it was just that.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
They were addictive. You could drink them. You could drink a lot of them and you could drink them quickly.
Yeah.
That's and they were strong though, but they didn't taste strong.
They were, yeah.
You could drink it like it was soda.
They were delicious. I really, really liked them.
Because it was carbonated, and it was just like, man, that's good. Once you drank it, there was something about that caramel and the salt and the peanut and the sugar from the Coca-Cola. And it was just like, you'd take a hit of that, and you're like, wow. And then you'd immediately want to drink more. And I'd want to take big, strong, you know what I mean? But you didn't realize how much alcohol that was.
It's a lot.
It didn't taste strong. It was very strong. You had to respect those things.
I mean, well, I think the combination... I was like the combination of like sweet and salty. That's always like really, really good. But, you know, like I'll eat chocolate-covered potato chips all day long. That shit is delicious.
Old school Van Gogh was good. It was real good quality.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't cheap, but it was worth it. I mean, they used all natural flavors.
It was good quality shit.
And
they just couldn't beat out Pinnacle. Pinnacle was a fraction of the cost.
Like $12 or something?
It was artificially flavored, but you don't give a shit. It's just flavored so well.
Depending on the flavor.
Some of them are too much, but
Some of them, like, I don't really like.
Cake wasn't all that.
It was okay.
The best one was whipped cream vodka.
Yeah.
With orange juice. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's really good. Because you're going to mix it with shit anyway, usually.
Yeah.
If it's flavored. And I actually don't even mind the cherry one if you mix it with, like, Sprite or something like that. Or Coke is good, too. Because then you have, like, kind of a cherry Coke or cherry Sprite experience.
The cherry kind of had an artificial flavor to it.
But I don't mind artificial cherry flavor.
And then birthday cake. Remember that?
Yeah.
Birthday cake.
The birthday cake one was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just pulled out all the stops because they're just like, we're going to be known as like the flavored vodka of you know, broke college kids.
Mm.
So they're like, we're going to do the craziest fucking flavors that you can do. So it's like they had shit like Fruit Loops and all that.
Yeah, they were good.
I don't like Fruit Loops in real life. So
yeah, they were good.
So I didn't really like the Fruit Loops flavored vodka either.
All different kinds of candy.
I'm trying to think. Now I think the big trend now is like pickle-flavored ones.
Yeah.
Which I can kind of get behind.
That's easy to do, though. You get the pickle juice out of the jar and just put vodka in that. Well, I could drink pickle juice.
I could, too.
I love it.
I love pickle juice.
Yeah. I used to think it was bad for you. Turned out, no. They said you can drink all that you want.
No, that's all right. Not going
to
hurt you.
It does something to your blood. It's pretty good. All that vinegar in there. Yeah.
Jeffy Art said, I love salty and sweet. I take pretzel chips and dunk them in chunky peanut butter, then spread strawberry preserves on there.
That'd be good.
That does sound pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot of carbs.
I mean, all that shit is good. One of my favorite coffee drinks that I discovered at, not Starbucks, but at Joe Muggs, which is the cafe inside Books A Million. In the fall, they have, what is it? Salted caramel pecan latte.
Yeah, right? That's a good one.
And that's, I've tried all of them. I tried the pumpkin spice one. The red velvet one's pretty good too. And they had like some other, like caramel apple. Like they had some other ones like that too. But man, that salted caramel pecan one is like, that's the shit right there.
Oracle's here. What's up, Oracle?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, Tammy's here too. I think Tammy's been here though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw her earlier. Tammy says, they make a PB&J moonshine that tastes like peanut butter as you breathe in and jelly as you breathe out. Tasted it in Gatlinburg.
Huh.
We should probably try some more. I wish those moonshines, those Old Smoky moonshines, weren't so expensive.
Yeah, and they're kind of not really, not a lot of bang for your buck. They're weak.
Well, you know, they have like such cool flavors. Yeah. Because, man, that butter pecan one was good and the strawberry one was pretty good. Now, the strawberry one was pretty strong, I thought.
For the money, I could set a still up in the fucking kitchen and make that.
Tom's going to put a still in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, shit, start manufacturing the shit. We'll make some money.
Yeah, well, you don't. No, then you get into, it's a federal offense. Making and selling alcohol without the tax stamp.
Well, when has that ever stopped us?
Yeah, well, you can give it away. You can drink it for your own use.
Sure.
But you can't sell it. You can't package it and sell it. But it's easy to make that shit. They sell whole stills, pre-made, ready to go off the internet. You just need the little condensing coils and shit. It's not a difficult recipe. You probably wouldn't have to make moonshine. You could probably just make, just see what they have.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be interesting. Moonshine would be easy to make because I think you can just make it out of sugar. I don't even think you need anything other than the sugar.
James Holmes said, my great-great-grandpa was a moonshiner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were. Zach says, by the way, I showed Tom this earlier, but a show I grew up on, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, I remember that show, has a song in it by your guy's friend, Voltaire. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He actually did a lot of songs for cartoons and stuff back then. A lot of his songs are really funny. I actually really like them. He's a good lyricist. He seems like a nice man. I don't know. You knew somebody that dated him, right? Or was married to him or something.
Yeah, my ex-fucking-buddy-in-law. Fucking,
your buddy-in-law? I'm going to call her a buddy-in-law.
Tanya. Tanya lived with them. I think they may have been married, but they were living with them for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tanya was a super cute Chanel girl. She sold so much fucking Chanel shit. That was up in Boston. She worked at Bloomingdale's. She was a good salesperson. She looked like a model. She ended up with Voltaire. That was, she had a whole stack of fucking love letters from, what was that goth kid from fucking Propaganda Magazine that was just fucking.
Oh, that guy.
Dave.
The super hot one.
Super hot, what was his name?
Shit. John.
John Kovac.
Kovac.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, John Kovac was in love with her. Yeah, and it was him. Fucking his name, he had photographs and shit. Yeah,
I always thought that dude was super hot because I used to buy a Propaganda whenever I could find it.
Yeah,
you know what? This is sad, but it's like they didn't really sell it in a lot of places. It's, you know, in fucking Florida.
Yeah.
So it's like I had to come to, when I lived in Daytona, I had to come to Orlando and go to the Virgin Megastore at Downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs, which, you know, the Virgin Megastore isn't there anymore. Disney Springs is still there.
Yeah.
But I had to go in there, and every now and then they would have it. Well, I think it only came out 4 times a year, right? It was quarterly.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it was a big fat
magazine,
so it wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, that moved, evidently that magazine didn't make any money. It was.
I can imagine it probably did not.
we grew up with it. It was quite a cultural fucking thing for the goth scene.
Yeah, it's legendary, like in the goth scene.
And it was basically like a gay dude. He was one that put it together, and he was a photographer. And. He would set up all these photo shoots with good-looking goth kids from the time. I call them kids. They were over 21, most of them, I believe.
Yeah.
And they would just do these fucking really cool photo shoots.
Like scenarios.
Yeah, and they would end up in those machine, end up in those magazines. And they weren't nude, although they maybe like semi-nude, like girls fucking with the ass hanging out in the G-string or something. And maybe
I think some of them were topless, but a lot of them were kind of like fashion-oriented.
They're fashion
too, and fetish-oriented.
Fetish and fucking artistic-looking. Yeah. They weren't porn, really.
Yeah, they were classy.
Yeah, and they were black and white, most of them.
Yeah.
And one of the male models... was John Kovac, and he became like the main goth heartthrob. The girls fucking love this dude, and he was a good looking dude.
Oh yeah, big.
When he got a little bit older, he didn't look like that anymore. He was still a good looking guy, but when he got famous, he was extremely skinny, and yeah, I'll show you a picture of him. And he just couldn't maintain that particular look. He had a band too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Yeah, I remember that's like, I used to think about that back when I bought it all the time, like back in the 90s. And I was just like, this magazine cannot be making any money. Because it's like, one, it's the distribution. You couldn't find it hardly anywhere except in like real cities. And it probably was very expensive to produce. And it wasn't, I mean, it was slightly expensive, but it wasn't all that expensive for, you know, how many pages it was. So, and I'm like, and I can't imagine more than a few thousand people are like buying this, you know what I mean? I remember that picture.
That was John.
I remember that picture.
Yeah.
I remember one they did kind of a with him in like the uniforms of certain.
Yeah, they did a lot of like fucking Germanic,
very provocative,
very kind Germanic. Looks
like what kind of like Death in June?
That was kind of
aesthetic. Yeah, you know what I mean. Which.
There he is. And
like old, I said, flirts a little with provocation. Let's put it that way.
In a very old school goth John Kovac.
I like that picture too.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find the old.
Ben said, have I seen American Horror Story New York season 11? Extremely gay. I have not, but now that you said that, that immediately piques my interest. Because I like watching anything that's like extremely gay. You know how much I love that stuff. I started watching the first season of American Horror Story, and I was just kind of like, man, this seems like something I could really get into, and then I just kind of, like, spaced out and, like, forgot about it. And so, now, how many seasons of it are we in? And I'm just like, well, shit, now it's gonna take, like, fucking forever to catch up.
See, and that's him later.
Oh, okay. Well, he's still looking good, though.
That was maybe 10 years later.
Okay. That still works.
Yeah, he just didn't look exactly like he did.
That still works. Well,
nobody does.
From when they were that young.
Yeah.
You can't like look the same forever. Yeah.
It's when he looked like dead. It's when he looked like this, that's when fucking all the girls were fucking running after him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at that face. That's like the perfect like male model face. He's got like the big lips and everything.
I'm trying to find his little German soldier fucking and the
photo cheekbones shape. And whatnot.
The little German soldier photograph looked like it might have been fucking thrown down the memory hole. Wait a minute. No, here it is.
No, I was going to say, they were here pretty famous. I have that issue somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have that issue.
Yeah.
Looking like Martin Gore. Look at that shit. He does look just like Martin Gore in that picture, actually.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff like that.
Martin Gore?
No, it's him.
Yeah,
that's
Kobe. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying that in the People Are People video, Martin Gore from Depeche Mode wore pretty much that exact outfit. And that exact hat.
That
exact hair.
That was a fucking early 90s goth look, bigger than shit. Late 80s, too, that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Death in June. All the German neo-folk kind of
that was a big sub-genre.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I think a lot of people don't realize that it's like the whole, you know, when you just say goth, you mean like one thing, but it's like it's not. It's like a million things. There's like 40 bajillion like little sub-genres. Yeah. Of like different shit that was going on. And, like, you know, we kind of knew what was going on with this and that and the other thing, but it's like most people had, like, preferences.
I think that's him, too.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of shit I'm talking
about. This is the shit that went pretty fucking far. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Right, yeah. See, so, like I said.
Yeah.
And they did that for provocation purposes.
Yeah, they wanted you to get pissed.
Yeah, they wanted you to get kind of like.
Yeah, like,
or either that or like, oh my.
Yeah, yeah. My. They were fetishizing it.
Right, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, remember this?
What? I have that.
Yeah. I remember that.
I have that issue.
On a cover, like,
it's right here.
Yeah, you got that cover.
In one of these.
Probably worth a lot of money.
Either I still have it, or I can't remember because I did sell some of my magazines to DJ Azzy in Tampa.
But, I remember this one.
But I do have that, I think.
This is when John was getting spicy with the German nationalism.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that photo, too, because I also had that issue.
Yeah, that motherfucker weighs about 100 pounds.
See, I like that, though.
It's a look. That's the heroin chic was going on.
I like that look. I mean, I like a lot of different looks, but yeah. I do like that look.
Heroin chic was going on at the time.
You know. Oracle says, my latest spooky movie was rewatching Happy Death Day to You. I actually really enjoyed the Happy Death Day movies. I didn't really expect to. I don't know why. I'm not usually hugely into horror comedy, but I thought that was like such a cool premise, and like the girl that was in it, the woman that's in it is so good and like so appealing that it's just like really, I just really enjoyed them. I think we saw Happy Death Day to You in the theater, and then we saw the first one like later on. We actually watched last night, because if you remember, was this Wednesday that you said that you wanted to watch all the Christopher Lee Dracula movies, like yeah, the Hammer ones? So we had done Dracula, like the first one, Horror of Dracula, which is what it's called in the US. I think it's just called Dracula in the UK, which came out in 1958. And then the second one is Dracula, Prince of Darkness, but I couldn't find that bitch anywhere streaming. So we went to what I think is the third one, or maybe the fourth one, which was Dracula's Risen from the Grave, which was on HBO Max, which I have. So we watched that one last night. Didn't love it. I think that Christopher Lee should have been in it more. But I don't know. It was pretty good. But we might review it on Monday, or we might watch something else. I'm not really sure. Because they have a bunch of other ones available on Max and on Amazon Prime. So we'll see. We've done Dracula 80 1972. Because the thing about... up until Dracula 80 1972, all of the Dracula movies were obviously like set at the, you know, at the end of the 19th century, like the book was. So I think Tom would likes it better when it's set in the modern era, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe some of the later ones.
I've seen some of the newer ones,
like Scars of Dracula or something. But yeah, Dracula's Risen from the Grave it's pretty good, but I think it needed more Christopher Lee.
Yeah, they made some mistakes. I mean, if you're gonna have Dracula, you better give Dracula some fucking lines to say. He better have some scenes in it.
He better Dracula the fuck out.
And you got Christopher Lee. You went through all that trouble to get his ass, and you don't give him very much to say. As kind of good British production was, it's fucking a trip that they didn't have a better script written with dialogue for him and more to do. But they weren't expanding on vampire lore. I find that strange. Almost kind of like they were afraid to go there.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like I said, I kind of want to watch all of them in sequence. Because I've seen them all, but I don't think I ever sat down and watched them in order. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of watched them all over, like, different times.
Dracula comes back just to get revenge. And he does get his revenge. But it should have been more of that, you know what I mean? What's Dracula going to do once he has his revenge? Is he going to rebuild his castle? Is he going
to
move to?
I'm just going to go back to sleep for a little.
Yeah,
while.
Is he going
to
go somewhere else?
I'm tired.
Is he going to have a new woman? Is he going to have a new harem of vampire broads? You know what I mean?
That's another thing. Not enough boobies.
Yeah,
I mean there was a lot of cleavage in this one.
Yeah, and
but
and,
not enough boobies.
And the way they wrote the story, Dracula was after the blonde hottie, but there was a girl that was into him. And she's like, what do you want her for? You got me.
Well, he was after her because she, one, because of the purity issue, like I was telling you before, and two, because she was the niece of the dude that had fucked him over.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
Right, I'm just saying.
It shouldn't have mattered from Dracula's point of view. He should have just says, well, I'm going to have all y'all.
I'm an equal opportunity
eater. Yeah, he goes, I like the good girls and the bad girls.
I just eat all of y'all.
Yep, all y'all are going to come with me, and you're going to do what I say. But they didn't give him enough lines. You know what I mean? They're trying to make Dracula too much like a monster instead of a man that's been, you know, infected with vampirism. That's what he really should be.
Although I did like the scenes where he came into that chick's room because she was all about it. Because, you know, he has that hypnosis thing and it's Christopher Lee. I was like, yeah, if Christopher Lee showed up at my window, I'd probably be like, yeah, right. You know what I mean?
But my gripe is that the girl, the woman that was into him, when she expressed her fucking love for him after she was partially turned, he killed her.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, I don't need that fucking bullshit.
Yeah, which you would think that a fucking ancient vampire who'd been around for hundreds of years would know how to use people. Be like, okay, yeah, you're gonna be, you know, well, I like you too. You're gonna hang out. We're gonna get some more brides together. Yeah,
that kind of right. Shit. I know that. Like, if Tom was a vampire,
oh yeah, maybe a harem.
I mean, he would have a whole harem.
It'd be a whole harem. But Dracula had a harem of him.
I know you.
He had three of them. Dracula had three of them. Was trying to get a fourth or a fifth one.
Yeah, maybe yeah. I'd be your favorite one, but you would.
You'd be the chief. You'd be the head wife. I'd put all the other ones under your control. You'd be in charge.
Well, at least I know that if we ever get turned into vampires.
Yeah.
No, Tom's getting a harem. I don't get a harem, but he gets one.
You can have one. You can have a harem of women.
I can't have a harem of men?
If I approve of them.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
If I approve. If I approve of them. Depends on what the deal is. Depends on what the deal is.
Double standard, Tom. Double standard.
It depends. You know, as long as you're not a threat. Then yeah.
Oh, I see.
Depends on if I like them.
But don't I mean? Okay, you wouldn't think like women would be a threat to me.
Well, I'd make sure that wouldn't happen.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing they could do. Nothing they could do to you.
This just looked really funny.
It would be your sisters.
I kind of figured.
It would be your sister wives.
Because I like most dudes are kind of like that. They're like, well, yeah, I want a harem of women, and their wife's like, yeah, I'd like a harem of men too. They're like, oh no. No, only I get to have a harem. You know.
I can work something out.
Like I said, I would not want a harem of men because Jesus Christ.
That's what I was thinking.
One man is enough of a pain. If you had a harem of women, I would get a harem of men just to spite you, like just because I could. You know what I mean? That's why.
Yeah, see, that's spiteful thinking. So.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
It should be, you know.
Well, because it's... Well, it's because...
You might want a couple real young ones or something.
You get to have one, so
well,
you might want
a couple real young ones that you...
Because what? I don't get anything? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You get to have whatever you want. Yeah,
get to have nothing.
Nobody said that.
So, yeah.
Nobody said that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody said that.
I'm just saying. That it's just like, you know...
Nobody said that.
In reality... I wouldn't want a harem of dudes because that would be a pain in the ass.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking because she Jenny's more likely to want a harem of girls, really.
Yeah.
So
see, I would, like I said,
because dudes would just be more trouble. But the only thing I could see that you might go for is like a much younger guy who's kind of like a servant almost.
Well, you know, like as long as they weren't or like a douchebag or something.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
I can see, you know, the guy's in his 20s or something. Dude is real sippy.
I don't know.
Yeah, that fucking served you. I can see you probably go for that.
Ben says a harem of non-binary asexual furkin. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Ooh, can I have a harem of futa?
Yeah, you can have all the futa you want.
Okay. All right, then. I'm on board.
You can have all the futa you want. Yeah. You guys don't know what a futa is.
I didn't even think of that.
A futa is a fucking an anime... A Japanese anime. They're not transsexual. They're, what do you call them? Hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
They're hermaphrodites. They're girls. It roughly translates to dick girl.
Yeah.
It's a girl.
It's basically, yeah, it's a woman.
She's got a vagina and everything. But she also has a penis.
Yeah.
And it's fucking unreasonably large. Enough to scare
you
away.
Ben says, we know what food are. I figured everybody did. Yeah.
Some people don't know what a food
Tom
is.
Tom said, just in case.
Yeah.
Anybody didn't know. So I will have a harem of futa then.
Have a whole bunch of futa.
I like that idea.
You try to get the futa to peg me and shit.
Exactly.
So I know what she's thinking.
It's win-win.
I know what she's thinking.
Balls or no balls?
And big old fucking 13, 14-inch long futa.
Yeah.
See.
I'm ambivalent. They can have balls or not.
I know how these bad bitch thinks, man.
It's all right. I'm not averse to balls or no balls.
Everything is mental, mental wrestling match with Jen. She's trying to get back around to that fucking whole fucking anal fixation she has.
Maybe I should learn like some animation, and then I could like, and I could do a deep fake, and I could do a deep fake. I'll try to make it look like realistic and stuff. I don't have enough money to pay somebody else to do it, so I'd have to learn to do it. Joseph said Christopher Lee's favorite Hammer movie, The Devil Rides Out. That's actually a great one. Yeah, that's based on what's his name? Dennis Wheatley. That's his name, right? You would probably really like that movie,
yeah.
The Devil Rides Out. We should probably do that one of these days.
Yeah, so far I kind of liked the British vampire movies, you know, with Christopher Lee. They're okay. They're pretty good. The quality's pretty good for the time.
Yeah.
But it's not expanding out on the on vampire lore or lore or building on the character of Dracula so far.
Yeah,
he's still a generic monster.
Right, right, right.
I mean, and then William Marshall, actually, the thing from, what do you call it, fucking Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream, that those two movies actually expanded on vampire lore. They took it to the Interview with the Vampire levels, because those movies actually inspired Anne Rice more than some of the old vampire movies.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like the Blackula movies. Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Yeah, they're kind of like, they're pretty good vampire movies.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're kind of doing innovative stuff with, because they're asking the question, what is it like to live as a vampire? What would your world be like?
Yeah.
And so far, that's not being addressed in these.
Yeah, I mean, this one, they're just kind of, like I said, still keeping to, like, the classic.
Yeah.
As far as I remember, this was only, like, the third or fourth one. So they're basically just trying to retell the classic story over again. Because all that happens in this one is that, you know, at the end of Dracula, Prince of Darkness, like, Dracula got frozen or something like that. So they thought that he'd been destroyed. But, like, all the people in the village are like, well, but still, like, we still feel the evil or whatever. And then this priest goes up there and, like, tries to exorcise the evil from the castle, but then during the hike they kind of accidentally wake him back up again. Like, yeah, that's what usually happens. And then he's like, oh, I'm gonna go fuck up the townsfolk. And he mostly wants to get revenge on the one priest that put the big cross in his castle door and said the exorcism over his castle because he was mad. You know what I mean?
One of the best fucking scenes that have anything to do with vampires out of these old movies came out of Scream, back in the Scream, when he turned that voodoo priest into a vampire down in New Orleans. And he's impressed. He's like, man, look at these clothes. Look at me. I'm a vampire. Man, I look fucking... And then he tried to look at himself in the mirror, and he couldn't see himself.
And he's like, aw, shit.
And fucking Mama Waldy, you know, played by William Marshall, also known as Blackula. He goes, yeah, you can't see yourself in those days are over. And he's like, well, let's go out to the club, man. We're going to have fun. And he goes, oh, no. And he goes, what do you mean? We're vampires now? We can't go out? And he's like, and he goes, no, you can't socialize with mortals. And he goes, well, why not? You know, and he goes, because you'll lead them back here where we sleep, and they'll kill us. You know? Like, and he's like, so what am I supposed to do? And he goes, you will stay right here and obey me. And he goes, what, I'm your slave now? And he goes, yes. Yeah.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah, you're my slave. I made you, you know. And this whole, that was the first time that was ever addressed that I can think of in any of these old vampire movies, that if you were a master vampire and you made other vampires, they were your slaves. You did what they said or they killed you, because they were a lot stronger than you. And they made you for a reason, to be a servant to them.
Well, like,
they
said,
wanted your house.
That was the whole premise of Renfield, was that he just made Renfield.
Yeah, and that was the whole
thrall.
Premise of all that damn Interview with the Vampire stuff. You could made a dude a vampire so you could steal his house. But you didn't make him a fucking strong vampire. You made him your servant.
Because if you could do that, I mean, most people probably would.
Yeah. You didn't worry about money. You just turn rich people into vampires and make them your servant.
See, that's what appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to need a lot of money if you're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
So you better, like, go find some motherfucker that's got, like, a fuck ton that's, like, a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then turn him into, like, a wimpy-ass vampire.
But they show that the money eventually runs out. Because whatever your form of business was, you can't maintain it forever.
Because
you're a vampire. You can't move around during the day. And you're only going to be able to fool people for so long. Remember, eventually the plantation rose up against them and drove them out.
Yeah.
And you had to have a bunch of lawyers, crooked lawyers, that would fucking, you know, handle all your money business.
Yeah, you'd really
stuff.
Have to, like...
So there was a big... It was, being a vampire was a job. If you wanted possessions, you had to take care of legal ownership. It's hard to do when you don't have a fucking identity. Your identity's hundreds of years old. You have to use... You're making other people vampires so you can usurp their identity as living people, and that's only good for so long.
Yeah.
You're like, man, this dude's 102. He fucking looks like he's 30. So you got to keep changing them out.
It's making me tired just thinking about it. Yeah. Thank you, Jeffy Art. Just watched YouTuber James Summerton's video essay on vampires and queer culture. It's worth watching just for the fun, campy costumes alone. That actually sounds really good, so I'm going to have to like check that out. So thank you for the recommendation, and thank you for the super chat. Joseph says, have you ever done a show about the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn?
Yes, we did one on...
We did one on...
On Aleister Crowley.
We did do a show on Aleister Crowley, like, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we did one about that specifically, but we did talk about that, like, on the show a lot. Yeah, Ben said, just get an old castle in the middle of nowhere that everyone is afraid to visit. That's kind of what you have to do, And, well, I mean, the thing
but
about
there was more to that story, too.
Right.
But go ahead. What did you say?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, even if you did that, you know, there's going to be villagers. You got to, like, go out in the public sometimes, so everybody's going to, I think that motherfucker's a vampire.
Eventually,
you know what I mean?
Somebody's going to try to buy that property.
Yeah, or eventually somebody's going to, like, twig on to, like, what you're up to, and, you know, that could, like, go badly.
Dracula's solution was down there in Romania, or in Transylvania. He had a whole army of gypsies, gypsy gangsters, basically, that protected him and did a lot of his bidding. And they were kind of, holding the local village in terror. That as long as they gave up offerings every now and then, he wouldn't go down there and fuck them up. And they also had to protect him. They had to protect him in exchange for all that. So the locals knew who he was. They were scared of him.
Yeah. Which you could go that route too.
But that was in the olden days, before telecommunications, you know.
It would be much harder. It would
be much harder today. You couldn't take over a whole town. You could back then, but you couldn't take over a whole town in the modern era.
Yeah, Ben said, or set up a family trust and lease everything from yourself. That might be the route to go, like where you can just like say that you're a descendant. Like this is just like always your son or whatever. Mm. Like, maybe you could do that, but it would still, like, take a lot of legal wrangling, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd have to make your lawyer into a vampire, too, so he could, like...
You'd have to make him into a thrall.
So he'd, like, do all your bidding all the time. Yeah. And do all your fucking legal shit.
I think that's what he's trying to do to Renfield. I guess the process isn't perfect. That they can fuck him up sometimes, and you can't use him.
Because the thing about...
What was Renfield for?
The thing about a thrall is that... Ostensibly, you're making them sort of a quasi-vampire because you want somebody that can still walk around in the daytime and is still mostly human, but you still want somebody that kind of has powers and also that will just do whatever you say. So I'm not entirely sure like how all of that works.
Well, according to the movies, they were being promised vampirism.
Well, yeah.
After I think service.
Yeah.
So they could live forever. But that wasn't actually what they were going to do. They in the stories, they always betrayed him and killed him when they were done with him.
Yeah. In Fright Night, Jerry Dandridge, who was the vampire in that, he had, I guess you'd call it a thrall. His name was Billy Cole. And he was a person in the sense that he could walk around in the daytime. But he was also kind of like a vampire because he wasn't, like, you could shoot him and he'd still, like, get back up again.
Yeah.
But when they staked him, like, he melted and died and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was still, like, partly a vampire, but not enough that he couldn't, like, walk around in the daytime, you know?
Well, according to Anne Rice, it all mattered on how much blood he gave you.
Yeah.
When they show it in the old movies, he's biting the girls and they somehow become a vampire. And Rice said, yeah, he's biting them, but he's also giving them some of his blood.
Yeah, it was
and
like
the more of blood, the more of his blood they drink, the more of his power they will get.
Which makes sense, actually.
Right, and then to make a thrall, which is a slave, basically, and it's like a part vampire slave, somebody who's just, and their minds are kind of fucked up. Evidently, you're only giving them a few drops. Just enough to take control over them.
Right. Yeah,
but
I guess.
some of those vampire Lestat books, though, you know, when Lestat would make a vampire a strong one, he'd give him a lot.
Yeah,
you know, which would make him a little stronger at birth, at vampire birth.
I kind of like I thought, and it's been a while since I've read the original Bram Stoker novel, but I thought in the Dracula book. Like, if you just got bit by a vampire and they didn't kill you, Like, if it didn't bite you, if he didn't bite you again, you would recover and it would be fine. But what they did, and I'm pretty sure what Dracula did to Lucy in the novel, was that he came back on, I believe it was 3 nights, and drained more blood and drained more blood and drained more blood. And then after she died, she turned into a vampire.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that, because he bit Mina too, but she didn't turn into a vampire either, but she still had the power, like, she could, like, look into his mind and shit.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, some kind of, like, psychic link that was established between them. Thank you, Murder Hornet. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Well, that's the same thing with, in the Anne Rice books, though. They had that. There were a bunch of psychic links could happen. But it was... Anne Rice's explanation was it depended on how much blood they gave you.
Right.
Yeah, they were drinking your blood, but they were also making you drink some of their blood. And you, once you started sucking on it, you'd fucking want more and more of it, and they'd have to stop you.
Yeah.
But it killed you when you drank a bunch of it.
Yeah.
But maybe in the, you know, I know that these writers are making the lore up as they go.
Yeah.
But you could interpret it the Anne Rice way. It was like, yeah, he was coming drinking her, but on that last night, he gave her some blood before she died. And then she died.
Right.
From drinking the blood. And then she came back.
Well, see, that's what Ben's saying is like, didn't he share his blood with her, or is that from later material? See, that's kind of what I don't remember, because I thought, and I could be totally wrong, because like I said, it's been a while since I've read the Dracula, the original novel. I thought that he just... drank Lucy's blood over successive nights, so she got sicker and sicker and sicker. She probably would have died sooner, except they kept giving her blood transfusions, you know what I mean? Like all her suitors did. So, but after she died, she came back as a vampire. I don't think, and I could be totally wrong, but I don't think in the novel he gave her any of his blood.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong about that. I could be misremembering it.
So they're saying that it spread like the way it is with the werewolf, just getting bitten. It's
right.
Like, it's like...
like, if you die from it,
yeah,
then you'll come back as a vampire.
Right.
Which, like I said, because I remember when I read that novel as a kid, thinking, well, shit, if this was the way it worked, if everybody that got eventually died from a vampire bite, like, turned into a vampire too, like, eventually the whole... population of the earth would be vampires,
right?
And I think somebody has even figured out mathematically how long that would take to happen, because of course they have. But so it makes a lot more sense, and I'm pretty sure that that was a later extrapolation, that, you know, the vampire had to give you, like, if they just drained your blood, you would just die.
Yeah.
But they have to give you some of the blood too, to, like, you know, deliberately make you into a vampire, other than it was just kind of like a, you know, oh, I bit this person and they died and then they just woke up again. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the way Anne Rice...
because that's more like a zombie thing.
Anne Rice would explain it that way. I don't know if she invented that system or just got it from other movies, but it makes a lot more sense. They're drinking from you to kill you.
Right.
Not to make you a vampire.
Yeah, they just want your blood. You're just food.
You're just food.
Right.
He can make you a vampire, but the only way to do this is he has to give you some of his blood.
Right.
And that makes a lot more sense. And because they don't want everybody that they feed from to become a vampire.
Because like I said...
that'd be too much of a problem. Right. These are just food. They're disposable.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, it would just be... the whole world would be vampire. It would be like a zombie apocalypse, essentially.
And Anne Rice's system is a lot better because she's like... you know, well, the vampires were real careful about who they would make another vampire. You had to have a certain look, and you had to have a certain amount of money. That helped, too. Or they just had to like you. But there was a certain look they were looking for, somebody who was good-looking, who could pull it off. And the more they liked you, the more blood they'd give you. But if they gave you too much, they wouldn't, you know... you could theoretically drink all that vampire's blood who's given it to you and kill that vampire and have all of his power. But they didn't want that. They just give you some. They wanted you strong enough to survive, but not so strong to be a threat. That's what they were doing. Yeah. And that kind of checks out even with a lot of the older movies.
I mean, that does make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Jeff Yard said, instead of a thrall, I could see modern vampires creating a service using an app. Mm-hmm. Daylight services, blood delivery, coffin security, etc. Vampire entrepreneurism. Yeah, that's exactly what would happen, I feel like. If you guys have never seen the 1983 movie, The Hunger, which was based on the Whitley Strieber novel, that's actually one of my favorite vampire movies of all time. And it kind of... because it's slightly supernatural, but it does kind of go into the more scientific, genetic kind of angle on it. Because Miriam the vampire who's like been alive for thousands of years, they imply that she like was turned in like ancient Egypt or something. She keeps trying to find companion vampires that will stay with her like forever. So she finds a human that she likes, she exchanges blood with them, and then they live for like 200-300 years, but then they start to like really rapidly age because there's some kind of like there's some kind of compatibility issue with vampire blood and human blood, and it's a really good story. Like, I thought it was like a really good angle. And the shitty thing too is that everybody that she turns like that, after 200-300 years, they start aging like super rapidly, but they're still alive. Like, they still can't die, they're still immortal, but their bodies start disintegrating, which to me, I always thought that was like the most fucking horrible idea. And I'm like, what a great idea for like for a vampire thing, because it's like the whole appeal of the vampire mythos is that you are young and hot forever, and like your body is, you know, stays the way it was when you were young or whatever. But it's like the fact that you're still stuck in this body and it's just like aging and falling apart and all this other kind of shit is like really horrifying. So I thought that was like a great idea.
Another angle though that Anne Rice came up with was about a dude named Magnus. Magnus was the guy who made Lestat into a vampire, and he was a sorcerer. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
He was a sorcerer. He stole vampirism. He wasn't made a vampire, he stole it. And he was an old alchemist and sorcerer who found out that vampires were real and tracked down where one of them was buried. And he dug up an old mummified-looking vampire that had been, like, starved of blood for a long, long time. And he made an incision in it and drank from it. That killed him, but turned him into a vampire. When he came up, he was an old man vampire. Didn't have any teeth. Just, he had fangs, but no teeth. And he was just fucking hideous. Mm-hmm. He lived for a long time like that. And he figured out that he had kind of broken the rules of a vampire. He couldn't do much because the way he looked. So he was trying to pick a successor, and he picked a bunch of them, but they failed. The only one that passed was Lestat. That's how I mean. And he said, to be a vampire long term, you'd have to be good looking. You had to be young.
Yeah.
Because you're going to stay like that forever.
Yeah, because like, what would be the point of like having like osteoporosis and shit like that?
Well, Magnus was strong, though. He was super. It was just that he couldn't do anything socially. You know what I mean? He couldn't. He lived as like basically a hermit. He couldn't be around anybody.
Well, it's the same.
Just so hideous looking.
It was the same kind of rule. It's like, that's why they said, well, you won't make a child into a vampire, because obviously they're going to be a child forever. And it's
they'd
like,
be a child forever.
That would be a horrifying fate to be trapped in.
And that they wouldn't survive over time.
Right.
They couldn't survive on their own type of deal.
Well, yeah, and that's how that happened. Joseph says, in Sabre Higgins, the Dracula tape, Dracula claims that the only reason Lucy was bad was that they kept giving her blood transfusions without checking the blood types. Yeah, that was another thing. And I thought that they at least knew kind of something about blood typing in the late 19th century when that book was written, but maybe not. Because the fact that her suitors just came in, they're like, hey, we got blood. Here, give her some. You know what I mean? But it's like, well, you can't just do that willy-nilly. Maybe they didn't know that back then.
I think they did that kind of shit back then.
Yeah. Blood's blood.
Yeah, it's all blood.
Who cares?
Nothing coagulates if it's the wrong type.
Not so much. I'm actually not really sure what happens, but it's not good. Yeah. It's not good. Tammy says, anybody remember the cop show Forever Night from 1992, where the main character was a cop and a vampire?
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely remember that. I don't think I ever saw it, but I remember seeing ads for it.
I remember seeing that, yeah. I remember seeing ads for it.
Yeah. Sebastian says, vampires are real, I think. They drink blood. Well... Yeah, I mean, there are people that drink blood, for sure. Does it make them live forever? No, probably not. Although, how would we know if they were really good at, like, hiding it? You know? Maybe.
I'd say no.
Probably not.
No, because the lore that we are hearing about vampires is new. It's not old. So, no. If the vampires really existed, that lore would be very old.
Yeah, we did a show not too long ago about vampires and werewolves.
It's not old enough.
And stuff like that. Well, and a lot of the old shit about vampires and werewolves is, like, kind of weird. Like, and it's been, like, replaced with other things.
The originals.
Particularly from the movies.
Originals you wouldn't recognize. Mm. I think the original is more like a Strogoi. That's probably the original. And then some of the other old vampire stories, it kind of more closely resembles a zombie.
Yeah, they were more like ghouls.
More
really.
Like a zombie or a ghoul.
Like, they weren't, like, all hot and suave and no. everything like that. They were just, like, gross
yeah.
zombie-type dudes that crawled out of graves with their shrouds on, and they were all yeah. bloody and stuff.
Yeah, and they were kind of mindless.
Yeah, they're just, like,
animalistic,
God.
Yeah. The the whole suave vampire thing, that's Bela Lugosi. He invented that.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because even in the novel... He wasn't, I guess he was kind of super suave later, but it's like he wasn't really suave. He was more like a rat-like old man.
He's what, he's exactly what Max Schreck was showing in Nosferatu.
Yeah, that's a lot closer to what he was like yeah. in the book. He did look younger, I think, like once he moved to England and started like drinking people, like he did appear younger. They do mention that in the novel. But yeah, when you first meet him, he looks like
a rat.
Creature. Yeah. Like he doesn't look like a person. So he's not all smooth like fucking Bela Lugosi. So yeah, I think that's where that whole like smooth aristocrat thing came from Bela Lugosi. But and he had done it on stage before he was in the movie. So I think that's probably where that came from. Yeah, Jeffy Art said I loved Forever Night.
It's evidently free on YouTube. I think there's
yeah, used to stay up watching it on CBS after Late Night with Letterman. It was the kind. It was the show that made me go from being afraid of vampires to having major crushes on them. That's pretty cool. Yeah, they were talking about, like, vampires. Ben says Richard Ramirez tried that out. Yeah, it's just... I don't think drinking blood isn't going to do anything for you.
No. HRT will, but not drinking blood. Inject testosterone. That'll
do something, but it's like drinking blood... Yeah. Well, if you drink the blood, it doesn't...
Just digest it.
It just digests it, just like anything else that you
might as well just
eat or
meat.
Drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, you might as well just eat a steak.
Yeah.
It tastes a lot better, I'm sure. Yeah. Than like fucking human blood. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but all right. So it's almost 9 o'clock, and yeah. you seem like you're kind of getting ready to.
Yeah, let's go ahead and shut it down. We're gonna get ready to go.
Yeah, we got to get ready to. Oh wait, so Danny Rowling has a question first.
Okay,
what's Tom's opinion on the Harley Davidson Pan America motorcycle, and would it be good for off road riding?
I don't know that one. Is that new liquid cooled head engine that's in that one? I heard that they were doing kind of like an adventure tour bike. That must be what he's talking about. But I will tell you this, just off the top of my head. And I'm not a Harley fanatic. I came from Japanese sport bikes, and then went on to Buells. A lot of my friends have Harleys, and I hang out with fucking guys in motorcycle gangs, you know, fucking warlocks and stuff. Harley-Davidson motorcycles are very good quality motorcycles for what their intended purpose was, which is like long distance endurance riding, touring, you know. Good, they're Western style. They're kind of modeled after the old cowboy Western horse. You carry saddlebags. Some of them have hard bags, big fucking fairing on the front of it, and great sound systems. And Harley really got them straightened out. They're good. They're as good as a Japanese cruiser, but I think in a way better because they're kind of the original. Build quality's nice. Now they have idiosyncrasies. You know, certain bearings have to be replaced, and you have to stay on top of certain things. But it's not hard. It's very easy to work on those bikes. And tutorials are everywhere. And if you're in the United States, the supply of parts is just fucking very easy to get a hold of. And the motors themselves are very kind of agricultural. Real simple. They produce a lot of torque. They're under-tuned or detuned, which means that they could produce a lot more power, but they've detuned them to run a lot more mellow. So you can get more engine life out of one. They make a lot of torque, and which is, you know, the fucking acceleration and pulling power, the ability to fucking move from a dead stop up to speed. You know, they got a lot of torque, kind of like a tractor. And people get confused. They got big displacement motors, but they get very good gas mileage. You know, fucking, you can get, they got Harley engines out there that get 45 miles per gallon. Most of them are probably more like 40, 35. especially if they're weighted down with a bunch of electronics and body parts and shit, you know, and fucking accessories. But pretty much anything from them, I'd own it. They're good. They're good products. And they were dealing with that live wire. It was an electric motorcycle. I liked how it looked. But electric motorcycles just, they're not ready, if you ask me. And they wanted a lot of money for that thing. And I liked how it looked, though. But just not really that practical. It takes a long time to recharge them.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I don't really know.
Look good. Look real cool.
Yeah.
Futuristic, like a futuristic fucking Harley hot rod. Kind of like a Sportster and a like a kind of like a Harley Sportster and a fucking Buell S1 had a baby.
All right.
Retro futuristic looking.
I like that. That aesthetic.
Very retro futuristic.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we're gonna wrap it up because we gotta hit the road in a little bit. Thanks everybody for dropping by. Thanks for you guys' super chats. Hopefully you have a good weekend coming up. We'll be back on Monday evening talking about a movie. I don't know. It might be Dracula's Risen from the Grave. It might be something else because we might watch something else over the weekend that we talk about. So, you know, hopefully you guys can join us for that. So thanks everybody for dropping by once again. Have a good weekend and we'll see you guys on Monday.